He's not going to do that unless Elon lets him.
You have to wonder about Elon. The most successful portion of his car company sits in China at the moment.
The expression, I beg your pardon, Mr. Yes. President, has taken yes. on completely new
completely different
this morning.
Mark, hello, good morning.
How's it?
It's a good day, Mom. Tim, what brackets would you put around presidential executive orders, I think is what they call it in the US. I mean, you know, this individually vested power across the world.
Yes.
There are some things that are at the will of the president. We have ours, like the appointment of ministers and things of that nature and and their dismissal.
Yep.
And pardons. I don't know if we have. Do we have presidential pardon in our country? I imagine we do.
We do. Yeah, we do. They've never been used. I mean, it's very interesting.
Well, long may that last.
Yeah, no, exactly. And you're raising this because of a certain situation in America, I presume.
Yeah, well, the Biden happily is feeling all full of forgiveness this morning.
Right.
Okay. I mean, because Daddy said, it's okay, my boy, you can go free. Okay. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but that kind of seems to be something that should have double rules around it, as should the sort of what I might describe as occasionally reckless choice of appointments in key positions like the head of the FBI and so on, and others which have been criticized. So vested power in a single human being. Thoughts on that generally, man? What?
Wow. No, it's just incredible.
There've got to be some, I suppose.
Yeah. You know who's the real winner out of this American situation? So this morning, President Joe Biden set his own son free.
Yeah.
But I think the real winner are all of those people that they prosecuted for the December 6th protests.
They all go free.
Because Trump has already said that he's going to pardon them.
No.
And now he's got an absolute carte blanche.
Oh.
But you know what I find is so interesting about this is how it's massively similar almost everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You give somebody a power that you just expect them to handle
with extreme caution
in a sensible, politically astute
and judgment,
with caution. Yeah. Next thing, boom.
You're sitting at breakfast, okay?
The kids that can do what they want.
You're sitting at breakfast, and the big guy, as I think he was referred to, or the number one, as we sometimes refer to him, goes, "How's your day, son?" Goes, "Oh man, I've still got this thing hanging over me. Ah, forget it, son. Boss the marmalade. It's over, man. Just give me a pen."
Yes.
Look, I accept that at some point someone has to make some decisions. And they have to eventually be executive orders. But I would wonder whether there has to be due process to get to that point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And in America, it just seems to be completely untrammeled. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just absolutely without kind of limits. You know, and for an outgoing president, you know, who's serving, you know, his last term.
Last month. Yeah.
Yeah, last month of last term. There's no price to pay. There's no political price to pay.
No.
So people abuse it, obviously.
Now, I only have one question, which is the real question. Can you forgive yourself?
Yeah, no.
Can the president, pardon the president? Well, you see, because they're two persona, like the royal family. That's we.
Yes.
We are not impressed or not amused, I think, was the famous.
Yes.
So can the president forgive the individual?
Yes.
Because they're two personas, as I understand them to be.
Yes.
So you have a meeting with yourself in the morning. It's even better than with your family. And you go, you know that naughty thing you did yesterday?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, man. Hey. I presume you can't forgive yourself, right?
Yeah, of course you can. There's no limits in this constitution. The constitution doesn't say that there's a certain person you're not allowed to pardon. They just assumed, everybody just assumed that the sitting president in America wouldn't be facing, you know, six criminal trials.
Yeah. Because he's going to wake up on the, late January, I forget the date, and he's going to go, "Hi guys, you know all that stuff that you had lined up against me?
Nah. Yes.
Okay, let's move on to instead imposing 100% sanctions on all the guys that don't want to use the dollar." I read that somewhere. Have I misread that as well?
No. It was a tweet even before Trump has become president. He's already biovating. Is that how you say it? You say biovating.
I don't know, but I'm going to say it a lot now that I've learned the word. I'm biovating. It actually sounds a little bit on the edge of disgustingness, Tim, but carry on.
Trump said that he's demanding that BRICS countries state openly that they are not going to
make their own currency,
seek a different currency. And if they do want to do that, then they can say goodbye to trade to America. I really don't understand this, because there's been such a long tradition. I mean, this is the place where Trump differs so graphically with the entire American business community. So the business community thinks, he's just talking. It's just talk, you know. He's never going to do that. I mean, it's not going to happen.
He's not going to do that unless Elon lets him. Okay, let's just put that into
Yes. The real president.
Yeah.
You have to wonder about Elon. The most successful portion of his car company sits in China at the moment.
Well, we'll pardon him for that, right?
Yes, no.
The expression, I beg your pardon, Mr. Yes. President, has taken on completely new
completely different
this morning as from this sort of override. I mean, so, you know, what is he going to do about Bitcoin? What's he going to do about anything that threatens the integrity of the dollar? And it goes to the point of political overrides in free market principles. I mean, I saw it in the front page of Business Day today. We've got a new capital markets committee or something, you know, a group of people who are going to preside over making our capital markets better or something. I couldn't glean from the little bit I read what they exactly had in mind.
Right.
But there's almost a built-in contradiction about having a committee to make markets more efficient. Isn't it? You know, how do you decree or how do you set up a set of rules to govern free markets? Can you help me with that, Tim? Because I thought the whole issue was that capital markets are where the market forces prevail, like good old supply and demand and da, 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 and the attraction of investing capital into countries is defined by what they do, not what they say. Okay.
Yeah.
It's defined by how friendly the welcome is and how fair the rules are, not about what people would like them to be or are thinking about at a point in time. I don't know. Maybe they are just what they could do, this committee, is remove inhibitors. But beyond that, Tim, decree versus market?
I don't know. It's a like, wonderful contradiction. But you know what was interesting? So last week, South Africa had its biggest listing in a very long time with the kind of splitting off of Pick and Pay into two different groups.
Box on, Tim, box on. Yeah.
Yeah, boxes of Boxer. But what was interesting about it was that the listing immediately popped on the listing day by a lot. So, you know, it was 18% on the day. I think it's a little bit less than that now. But nevertheless, you know, to me, this is very interesting. Because the South African market has been, you know, so around the world, it's been sort of more or less there, you know, carrying on, blah, blah, blah. But you show people the possibility of growth and they are just on top of you.
Yeah, the money will come.
Boxer has a definite growth trajectory, right? You can see it. This is a sector in which there is lots of growth. And we know this because it's been growing like crazy for the past sort of decade or so. So, you know, to me, that's the missing element here. Show investors the possibility of real growth. And, you know, you don't need a committee. You know, they will just fall on top of you.
Well, I'll tell you what. Discretionary capital finds its own way.
Yeah.
You know, it just does. You don't have to go, hey, Mr. Discretionary Capital, I wonder if you like a piece of this.
Yes.
It finds it. Its purpose in life, discretionary capital, is to seek out fair risk-return equations.
Yes.
Okay, that's what it does for a living.
Yes.
Okay, and so if you present a growth story and all that kind of stuff, as you say, that Boxer is characterized by and was Capitec and was ShopRite, and I can go on to the list of successes and failures, they are defined by their actions, not by their preachers. Okay.
I suppose you could argue, you could say, well, there's an information lack.
So you could say,
if only capital knew how wonderful what wonderful growth opportunities there are.
Yeah.
And that's what the committee can do. The committee can, you know, sort of
reveal
the possibilities and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but capital wasn't born yesterday. So you can tell capital all the lack of stuff, but if there are impediments like an unfair tax system or tariffs or barriers to entry or barriers to exit or, you know, disincentives or imposed unnatural non-market forces. Capital doesn't even pitch up for the speech.
How would you classify this situation? You know, if you're an investor sitting anywhere in, you know, Bavaria, and you read in the newspaper that the mayor of Johannesburg has had his water and electricity cut off by his own electricity department.
No. Well, I would, a couple of things. First of all, I'd say the system seems to be working. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
As it should. But then if you go one level deeper and find out what really happened, is that the city of Johannesburg, top boys, moved out of their, you know, offices into, as I understand it, a mate's posher premises, a nicer place to stay, without checking first whether he'd actually been paying his electricity and water bill. I'm sorry, this has come up in a cup. Okay, this is so far the leading contender for the comeuppance of the year award, which no doubt will be beaten. But it's beyond. I mean, it's to be found out for leaving your place of office to go stay in a better place, which is not paid for. This is the circle of life, my friend.
Yes. It's karma writ large.
This is karma. This is textbook.
No. I mean, it would be so much better if the mayor of Johannesburg had decided that he is going to go down with a ship.
Yeah.
If people in Johannesburg aren't going to get water, he's also not going to get water. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. What's happened is that his friend, who he gave a multi-billion rand contract, didn't pay his electric bill.
No.
Anyway, the electricity, you'll be happy to know the electricity's back.
Goodness.
That the Johannesburg City Council now doesn't operate from the Johannesburg City Council building, which is now being vacated because there has to be big renovations. And everybody said at the time, there's the backstory.
I knew there was a story. Talking of renovations, do you see they're going to have a kind of temporary fix at Parliament and put some dome temporarily in place to house the National Assembly or to house something? The dome that was constructed for Nelson Mandela's funeral way back when, instead of fixing the building. And this is like having I see them everywhere in South Africa, beware potholes, you know, like a pothole yield sign. I mean, it's like, what is the cost of putting the signs up? Maybe that's going to fix a couple of holes. So, yeah. But now, you know, it's G20. I think, isn't it today we take over leadership of the G20?
Yeah, that's right. We are now the bosses of the G20.
Now, what does that mean?
85% of the world's GDP in our hands. Isn't that great?
Well, I don't know. Is that true? That's my question. Is the fact that you're the chair got anything to do with control of the body? I mean, what, again, are we talking about rights of veto or rights of executive order? I can't imagine you've got any power, have you, in that forum?
I find the G20 really fascinating because it's really difficult. You know what I mean? It's the one global multilateral organization that still includes all of the enemies. So, you know, you just long to be a fly on the wall in some meeting where they discuss, say, developing a new currency.
Can we switch the tapes off, please? You want to talk about the C word, okay?
Which is currency.
Okay, we can't do that. But money, that's the common denominator. And there are so many bodies, gatherings, talk shops around the world that it's almost a flourishing industry, okay? Yeah. But the return on time, I've yet to see, you know, tangible evidence of. I don't know. I don't understand it. Clearly, I don't. It's a big deal to be the boss of the G20, but I can't see why.
Well, I mean, theoretically, you're able, as the head of the G20, that you get two things. You notionally get to set the agenda for the G20, right? So, of course, that's a big negotiation. You know, it's not. But you could put stuff on the agenda that you want. The second thing is you get an absolute bun fight conference at the end of the year, in which all of the heads of the G20 end up in Johannesburg. So obviously, by that time, we know that it's going to happen at the end of the year. By that time, you know, the mayor of Johannesburg will have, you know, got his water back. So that will be a plus, we assume. people will have electricity, we hope. You know, it's sort of like there's a double-edged sword here.
Let me draw a tenuous analogy between that and hosting the World Cup.
Okay. Right.
So we hosted a fabulously successful World Cup in 2010, and we built lots of stadiums and did all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But despite the money you could make out of hosting it and the worldwide coverage and so on, you can't make the national team win. Okay. just because you're the host, you don't like get given an extra 5 goals.
No, exactly. You know? So
it's an honor, I suppose. The first time an African country has been the head of the G20, and let's see if it can be. I imagine there are, as you say, points in the agenda which you can highlight, which otherwise wouldn't have enjoyed coverage. So maybe that's its purpose. Yeah.
So shall we move on to numbers?
If you wish. I have a number.
Okay, go ahead.
Something that's always fascinated me is the speed of light.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't understand that there is a passage of time between you being visible and me seeing you, okay? It's not a big space, okay? Because, okay.
Is it affected by your bandwidth? I mean, is that part of
it? Not the visible part. But anyway, so here's the thing. Light travels, first of all, it travels in a straight line, which is a fabulous thing. So you can use it to do all sorts of things about reflecting and going around corners and guided missiles and goodness knows what else, lasers and targets and stuff. But it travels at 300 million meters per second, which is quite fast, if you say that.
Yes.
Okay. To give you an idea of how fast this is, it would circumvent the Earth about 7.5 times a second. Okay. So if you go, boom, it's been around the world 7.5 times already. Okay.
But I thought you said it went in a straight line. How does
it goes in a straight line around the world. You can go in a straight line around things, man. Come on. A circle, okay? Now that you want to get technical with me, let's have a go. Okay. A circle is nothing more or less than a series of straight lines. Very short straight lines. In fact, if you just want to draw a circle and you want to work it out in any mathematical way, it starts off by increasing the number of sides that are contained in the circle. So if there were four, you've got a square. If there were three, you've got a triangle, and then you've got an octagon. Right. And at infinity,
yes,
those little straight lines become a dot, which form a circle. Okay.
Right.
It's your, you started. Okay. You started. Okay. But Mr. Light, as I might refer to it, gets to the moon in 3.2 seconds. Okay, on your marks, get set, go. 2, 3, crocodile. Boom, it's on the moon. Okay. Okay, now bring me your number to compete with the speed of light.
Well, hang on a second here. So where are we going with the speed of light? You know what I think is interesting about the speed of light? The faster you go, the nearer you approach the speed of light, the heavier you get.
Well, that's the foundation of Einstein's
famous
equation, E equals mc squared. C squared is the speed of light.
Isn't that weird?
No, it's not weird. It's very clear.
Okay.
As you get faster and faster, you get more and more momentum, okay? And as you get more momentum, you get heavier, which is why if you drop a bullet on your toe, nothing much will happen. But if you shoot it at high speed, you'll blow your toe off. And that is because it's become heavier in essence.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
because momentum makes things heavier and heavier. However, everything reaches a critical speed beyond which it cannot go, which is the speed of light, Tim.
Okay. So we can't get to the moon faster than 3.5 seconds. That's disappointing.
Not even if you try.
I was hoping.
You see, that's this is the foundation of beam me up, Scotty. Okay.
Right.
Although that's got some other attachments to it beyond light. Anyway, now that I've sort of set the gold standard for numbers this morning, what have you got?
What interests me about this is because a lot of people, you know, when you see somebody like Donald Trump being elected,
you think,
well, what is the difference between America and us? You know, we also, you know, appoint, you know, nitwits to very senior positions and have a sort of corrupt state and all of that sort of stuff. And that all seems to be happening now in America, which is just like bizarre. But obviously they're doing something right, because here's my number. America's poorest state is Mississippi. So the question is, how many European or how many Western countries, if you want to put them, how many rich industrial countries have a GDP per capita higher, which is than America's poorest state? The answer to that is this: there's two, Germany and Canada. So both, if Germany and Canada were American states, they would be
second poorest.
The second poorest and the third poorest American state. It is incredible.
Wow.
It is amazing. Wow. So, but my question here is this real? I don't get that impression when I visit America. You know, I don't get the visible impression of...
Well, the reason is simple.
Such enormous riches.
Expanse. If you go drive, you are the last person that should talk about impressions when you live in the Karoo.
Okay.
If you had to wander around your farm estimating the GDP per person, you'll get the number wrong, okay? Because, it's the area's too big to sort of do the sums in your head. If you compare, I mean, it's one of the reasons why, you know, courier works so well in the UK and costs so much in South Africa is because we're so geographically dispersed. And whereas in London, you can make a delivery every 10 meters. In South Africa, ain't so the same. You know, the guys that need that service, which is why we had a post office, not to bring that up.
All right. On that note, maybe we should say goodbye and come back next week.
It's December, Nochal. Eh?
It is.
It's December.
It's December.
Switching on the holiday lights in Cape Town. It's December. Happy holidays for those of you escaping early.
Cheers, Mark. See you later.